Faith and works are necessary for salvation. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we will always love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings and your promises and your grace, Lord, upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for being such a gracious God. We lift your name up, Lord. May your name be glorified and be magnified this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I think most of us have been here for the last couple of weeks when I spoke about faith and works, for the most part. So, once again, this is what I would consider a simple message, but it's something that has taken a body of its own, a form of its own. And there's lots to be talked about. There's lots to be debated, potentially. I've come to discover that certain denominations don't teach what I'm about to talk about this evening. They actually think the contrary. And I don't have to call it, you know, denominations and whatnot. But nonetheless, this is a topic that oftentimes is debated. It could also be misunderstood. And it's extremely important for everyone to fully understand what I say, what I'm presenting, where I'm coming from, and where I'm going with all of this. And one particular topic that I missed in the very first series was that you do not earn your salvation based upon your works. And I mentioned that last week, and I will be talking about this in depth tonight. Another thing that I'm going to talk about, that I'm going to mention, that will potentially stir up the waters, is that faith alone does not save. And it's part of the series here, faith and works being a necessity for salvation. So there's two different things. Faith alone does not save, and your works alone does not save. They're two different things, and we will talk about it in depth in just a few. But for my opening verse here this evening, the very first verse that I'm going to bring to your attention comes from James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We are all familiar with the scripture, yes? We've read the scripture so many times. I don't think there's a necessity to bring forth the Greek and what the writer was trying to say. There are no hidden messages or meanings. It's pretty much stated right there. An illustration is mentioned that a body without the spirit that God has given you, when the spirit leaves, you are considered dead, no good, expired. You've kicked the bucket. You're gone. That's it. You're finished. You're moving on to the next life. The same exact principle applies to faith apart from works. It's nothing. It doesn't exist. It mentions faith apart from works is dead. works without faith is equally dead. And I want you to understand both of these concepts very well. And I'm following a pattern here. Faith apart from works is non-existent, is dead. And works without faith is also dead. Do you understand that? Now, faith justifies initially. And what do I mean initially? I mean when someone gave their heart to Jesus. Someone who decides to give their life to Jesus, they do it by faith. But works perfect and complete justification. Now, the Bible says that we need to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord for us to obtain faith. I mean salvation. That is the beginning steps of your works. I'll go ahead and say that. There are a lot of congregations that give the altar call. And what they'll do is, one here wants to give the life to Jesus. So you might have one or two or three people, or a couple dozen, or over 100, depending on the scenario. And then the preacher asks the people to walk up to the front, right? They'll walk up to the stage, or to the front of the stage, and they're all going to line up. And then you have the leadership team that comes and lays hands on them. And the preacher, the minister, the speaker, whoever it might be, prays to the Lord for the Lord to write their names on the book of life. And then right afterwards, generally what should be done, the right way to do it, is that they're escorted out of the auditorium or out of the place of worship into a separate place where they give their name, their information, telephone number, something brief about themselves, something that they're struggling with, any sort of special prayer request. All of these things should take no more than 10 minutes. This is how I've always seen done. But the point that I'm trying to make is, do you see the works now in effect? That person actively took a leap of faith in believing in God and did something. And what they did is they got up and gave their life to Jesus in front of everybody as being witness. This is true salvation. It starts out with the faith in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience. And then it follows up by work. But it just doesn't stay there. This is just the beginning. But ultimately, faith justifies initially. And then comes the works. The works perfect and complete justification. Now, just two verses prior, in James chapter 2, 24, it says this. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You see that? Not by faith only. And this is why I made emphasis of this in the very beginning, where a lot of people believe that faith alone is just enough to inherit salvation. The phrase faith alone, okay? Stick with me right here. Now, this I'm going to bring up the Greek. It is pistios monon. Faith alone. Pistios monon. Only occurs once in the Bible. Man is justified by works and not faith alone. It's including faith in there too. It's not saying that man is justified by works, but it's also emphasizing the fact that it's not just by faith. You come and you declare that Jesus is Lord, and then that's it. Boom, I'm good to go. I'm clean. No, not that at all. Unlike what some churches teach, nowhere in the scripture does it say that a man is justified or saved by faith alone. And I understand that certain things that I'm going to mention this evening might stir up the pot a little bit. By all means, I could always clarify certain things that you don't understand, but I really want to have everybody stay on the same page with me as this progresses. Now, to the contrary, a man is not justified by faith alone. A person is justified by faith and works acting together, which comes solely from God's divine grace. From God, this is the key element right here. This is the main ingredient. It comes from God's divine grace. And faith alone, just faith alone, never obtains the grace of justification. It has to be accompanied by works. Now, moving on to the meat and potatoes of things. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? I want to bring to your attention right now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, right? For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're not going to question that at all. The Bible clearly states that if we don't have faith in God, we're not in good terms with the Lord. It is the only way that that pleases God. Faith is required. This is what the Bible teaches, and I'm not talking against it. All right? Now, faith is indeed the minimum requirement. And this is what you have to understand. This is the minimum required of you and I, requirement of you and I to proceed on this walk of faith, in this walk of salvation. Without it, we cannot please God at all. But this is just the beginning of the process leading towards justification. This is where it starts. It starts with the faith. Now, faith alone does not justify a person. Justification is only achieved both by faith and works. And also, just so it's put out there, this gracious gift of faith from God also includes the grace of hope and love the moment the person is justified. Do you understand? I got 3 mm-hmms and 2 head shakes. Yes? Did you know that this is a gift from God that includes grace and hope and love? And once you have achieved that, that is part of the justification. This is when you achieved it, justification. Now, I want to bring something to your attention right now in this next verse. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this. We all know this verse, and I do have to bring it up. For by grace you have been saved through faith, all right? and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. At some point or another, you already knew that I was going to bring this verse up. I said, well, Brother Ted, how about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Well, how about it? Well, here we go. Understand one thing. Understand the time of when this took place. Oftentimes, this verse is preached in reference to things that we do that will lead us into salvation, right? In our day and age, now I'm going to bring it back to our day and age. Potentially somebody thinks that if they give, let's say that they are a millionaire, and they think in their heart that if they give 25% of their fortune every single year from their revenue, from their income, that they're a good person. They give to the needy, they give to the poor, they support a local mission, something that they believe in, right? Does he think that he's saved? Do you think that he's convinced that he's saved? No. I mean, we know that, right? There's nothing that a person can do that grants your salvation because it's a gift from God. Now, let's rewind the clock a little bit. When Paul said this, what had just happened a few years prior? The Lord was crucified. There was no need for us to pull a goat. There was no need for us to pull a ram or a bull, a dove, grain, or any of the nature. There was no need for you to do X, Y, and Z. Nothing whatsoever. And this is why Paul says, you no longer have to do these things. You do not have to do all these types of works and whatever beyond you might think that will grant you salvation. In today's day and age would be somebody trying to do so much work thinking then that's all that they need to do and they're not going to go to hell. Are we on the same page here? I see a couple puzzled looks. Yes? So, Paul teaches that faith is the root of justification and that faith excludes works of law. Do you understand the term works of law? And if it was today's day and age, in today's dollars, I mean, certain people would do certain different things from back then, but not the case anymore. But Paul does not teach that faith excludes other types of works, as we will see in just a moment. The verse also does not say that we are justified by faith alone. It does not say that. It only indicates that faith comes first. That's it. First comes your faith. This, of course, must be true because those who do works outside of faith are in the system of debt. But faith alone does not justify. Now, I want to bring a series of verses to lead up to what I just finished saying. And they all come from the book of Acts. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Right now, the key word here that I want to bring to your attention is repent. That is the first thing that one must do. Moving on to the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 19. Can I have that, please, Brother Harry? Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Here's another action that must be taken. that is initiated by belief, by faith. And the last verse that I want to bring to your attention here is Acts 17:30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Out of all these three verses right here, what is the common denominator? Repent. That is an action. That is something that you must do. You must actively stop what you were doing and turn around and do a 180. The faith we have must be a repentant faith. That's where it all stems up. And not just an intellectual faith that believes in God. And for you to repent from something, you must abstain from doing something. You must turn it around. You must leave it alone. It's an action. Repentance is not just a thought process. Because what is the thought process, for example? And I'll tell you, if in case you're wondering. It's faith. Your faith is your thought process. You believe. Your faith starts in you, in your heart. So repentance is not just a thought process, but an act. And what is the act? It's the works. It's what you do, by which we ask God for His mercy and forgiveness. And we change our course of action, otherwise known as repentance. Can I please have Psalms 51:17. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This means we need a broken and contrite heart, not just an intellectual assent of faith. Do you understand the difference? Do you get it? Not just an intellectual assent of faith, but a broken and contrite heart. Faith in God is only the beginning. I'll go back to saying what I said a few minutes ago. Faith in the Lord, it's only the beginning. This is the rest of it. A broken and a contrite heart. I have another verse to give you here. Romans 1:5. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I'm going to read that once again. Through him, capital H, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. This is what I want you to stick with. To the faith among all the nations for his name. This faith must also be an obedient faith and a work of faith. Obedience means persevering in good works to the end. This is what it states here in this verse. Now, do you think that you can have faith and also do what you're not supposed to do and be disobedient to the things of God? Do you think the Lord is going to give you a healthy dosage of what belongs to you if you are not abiding in His word? Obedience is also a huge element in all of this. Can I please have 2 Corinthians 10:15? Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labor, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. This verse must also increase as a result of our obedience, as Paul hopes for in this verse. Obedience is achieved not by faith alone, but by doing good works. Do you agree with that? Can you be obedient towards something just by faith or believing in a matter? In order for you to practice obedience, doesn't it require some sort of action? Right? Obedience is achieved not by faith alone, but also by doing good works. And in the same book, 2 Corinthians, now let's move on to chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Paul also reprimands us to examine ourselves to see whether we are holding on to our faith. This examination of conscience, did you know that is a spiritual practice? When you examine yourself, when you search yourself, that is something spiritual that every single one of us must do, if in case you didn't know. This examination of conscience is a spiritual practice that every single one of us must practice. Our faith, which is a gift from God, must be nurtured. Faith is not a one-time event that God bestows upon us, and then that's it. And then that's all that's going to be. It's something that you must nurture. It's something that you must practice. It's active. It's something that you must do. After all, the Bible says, faith without works is dead, as your body is dead. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And I meant to say, as your body without spirit is dead. But anyways, Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. I can read from this side much better if I found. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Thus, the faith that is justified in us is faith working through love and not faith alone. This is one of the best summaries of Christian teaching. One of the best. Did you know that? A lot of people will know that we belong to Christ, that we belong to Him, that we are Christians based upon the love that we show, the love that we emit towards others. Faith and love. Now here's the key. Manifested through works, okay, are always, always connected. Understand that. Faith and love, which can only be manifested by works. The key term here is works, are always connected and never disconnected. Faith, which is a process of a thought, okay, of your thought thinking, and love, which is an action. Right? You with me so far? Are never separated in the scriptures. Did you ever realize that? Faith and love are never separated in the scriptures when we read the scriptures. They are always together. They go hand in hand. Further, all faith, initial and perfected, are gifts from God and not earned or merit of any human action at all. God affects everything, both the willing and the achievement. But God also requires human action, which is necessary to perfect our faith. Can I please have James 1? I'm going to cover verses 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, This one will be blessed in what he does. It is the doers who are justified and not just the hearers. Do you see that? The doers are the ones that take the cake. Not just the people that hear and then don't do anything about it and so totally forgot about it. The Bible says that that's just like a man who looks in the mirror, and as soon as he steps out, he doesn't know who he is. He's lost in the sauce. Justification is based on what we do, which means works. Notice that there is nothing about false faith. The hearers may have faith, but they need to accompany their faith by works, or they will not be justified. And I'm going to reference Romans 2:13 to back that statement. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Right there. Praise God. So now, any questions about works and justification? Do you see how one goes hand in hand with another? Do you see that the Lord is not just pleased for us to just come and listen to a sermon and then that's it and forget about it and not act on it? Just simply believing doesn't cut it. We must kick it in gear, kick it into gear. Can I please have two verses? The first one is going to be James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And I want to pair this verse up with verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James clearly teaches that faith by itself, if it has no works, it is dead. Works are a cause and not just an effect. Please know that. Works are a cause and not just an effect of our justification, because good works achieve and increase our justification before God. Scriptures never say anything about saving faith. Instead, here and elsewhere, the scripture teaches that justification is achieved only when, and this is key, faith and works, not just faith, act together as one. Scriptures put no qualifier in simply just faith. Scriptures also never say that faith leads to works. Faith is faith, works is works. Do you get that? Faith is faith, and works is works. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:18. There are distinct mind and action. Okay? They are distinct. One is the mind, which is the faith. The second one is the action, which is your works. And yet must act together in order to receive God's gift of justification. Can I please have the next verse, please? Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Right? Why did I bring this up? Even the demons believe that Jesus is Lord. Right? But they tremble. And therefore, faith is not enough. Works is also required. The demons believe. They know. They know exactly what's up. But they have no works, believe me. Their works is on the contrary. They work for the opposite team. They work for the adversary. You see there, faith alone is not enough. And now next verse, please. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, do you want to be shown, you shallow guy, that faith apart from works is barren? Good works in God's grace are required for justification. But there is nothing in the scripture about saving faith. And now, verses 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? This sums everything up. This wraps everything up. Faith is active with works and is completed by works. It does not stand alone. Faith needs works to affect our justification. And for now, I'm going to leave it right here. I've given plenty of information, lots of scriptures. I don't want you to forget anything. We are going to pick up where we left off. Next Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest here, Brian Wills. And the following week, we will continue right where we left off as we talk about faith and works are necessary for salvation. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.